So let's turn tonight to Psalm 143, and this is the Psalm of David, and we again see David's heart as he's writing this psalm. You know, one of the things about psalms, and I've mentioned this before, and I actually heard it from Pastor Chuck years ago, is, you know, the psalms really are so wonderful in the sense of whatever emotion you might be feeling, whatever kind of thing you're going through. David has such an anointing from God to put it into words and in the lyrics of his songs. And psalms are so comforting, as we've seen going through the time we've been in the psalms. And I always like to turn to the psalms when I need God's comfort and want to hear from him concerning being comforted over this or that or the other thing. So I just wanted to pass that on to you. And tonight we have a psalm where David is crying out to the Lord and hearing, wanting his request answered, and knowing in his heart that God does answer those prayers. So Psalm 143, and let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in your sight shall no man living be justified." Or another translation there, "Shall no man living is righteous before you." And boy, is that ever the truth. And so if our answer to prayer depended upon us being totally righteous without Jesus, we would never get a prayer answered, never. But it's dependent upon the Lord and his mercy. And I always think of that story in the New Testament Jesus tells about the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray, and he was so proud of himself and kind of praying to himself or within himself that he gives tithes to the church, and he does this and he does that, and bringing his request. And then there was a man that came to the Lord, just going, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was smiting his breast. And the Lord Jesus said, this man, the man that was smiting his breast and saying, be merciful to me, a sinner, is the one that went up justified that day, not the self-righteous braggadocio, because in our own righteousness, there is as filthy rags before the Lord. So this wonderful scripture here that David prays and knows about, for in your sight, Lord, shall no man living be justified on his own. Now, we want to look at this this truth deeply in the Word of God. Let's take a look at Psalm 14. Tonight we're going to kind of begin to review Psalms as we do Psalms, because we're almost done with Psalms. How about that? We're going to review Psalms as we do Psalms because we're almost done with the Psalm. Psalm 14 and verses 2 and 3. This is pretty powerful description of how good we are. It's amazing to read it and understand it, but know at the same time the grace of God that makes us righteous before him in Christ. It says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." And that's pretty humbling. But God really wants to humble us and let us know that's the truth of it. And it's so great and so good that God, in his grace, then lifts us up. When Sherry and I were baptized in the Holy Ghost, the night that we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, Sherry started crying uncontrollably. And she was troubled, and because the Lord showed her insides, and she said that she was so dark and so bad, and she'd never really done anything wrong. I mean, you know what I'm saying, she wasn't out on the streets or doing terrible stuff. But she saw herself compared to Jesus Christ, and it just was overwhelming for her. And she just cried and cried, and she actually cried on and off for 3 days. And then the Lord, in that vision of darkness that he gave her of inside of herself, he gave her the vision of how she looks in him with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it just broke her heart, and at the same time lifted her up and saved her so fully and so beautifully. And he gave gifts of the Spirit to her and just was loving on her. And it was, the contrast was shocking, as we had one of the songs tonight. Shocking to me as her husband to hear her say that about herself. But then bringing to me the revelation again, as our eyes are open to the Lord's righteousness and his beauty, and how he does say these things, that he looked down from heaven and he saw that nobody understood and nobody really seeks God. They're all gone astray. They all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. And so it's a sobering truth to realize and to see that. And David knows this, as he says that no man living shall be justified or righteous before you. We need Jesus so badly, don't we? Yes. We need him deeply and wonderfully to touch us and to edify and build us up in the Spirit. Well, now, in the first part of Psalm 143 in verse 1, David says something before he confesses that truth in verse 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications or my humble, earnest request. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. So, Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. And I'm asking for you to answer me, to answer my prayer, because of your righteousness and because you are faithful to your promises in your faithfulness. Now, there's a verse in the New Testament that is quite shocking on the other side of it, that is so beautiful. And I'd like to turn with you to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. God understands that we have troubles sometimes with doubts, sometimes with fears, sometimes with the mistakes we make. And we read about his faithfulness first in verses 11 and 12, and then we read the shocking verse 13, and what to make of this. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we accept that cross that he died on for us, and we identify with his death in baptism, for those that are baptized or go into the water are identifying with his death, Romans chapter 6. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then it says in verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. Lord, answer me because of your faithfulness. That's what David said. And here we read, if we believe not, yet he abides. He remains faithful. He never changes, the Lord. He's always constant. He's very faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't not deny his promises. He can't deny who he is. He can't deny that he is a faithful God. And he remembers his promises, even to Israel. After being not a nation for 2,000 years, he is making Israel a nation again, beginning in 1948. He kept his promise to Israel, the nation. For many, many years, through Reformed, what's called Reformed theology, all the religious leaders thought that Israel was out of the picture, that actually the things said to Israel just represent the things God's saying to the church, and Israel's just gone. And it made all the sense to these folks that started this Reformed theology, because Israel was gone. Israel got knocked around by Hitler. Israel was disappeared from being a nation. The place they used to live was just called Palestine, and it was a desert. It was a sandbox. There was no creativity there. There were just a few thousand people living there, and it just looked like it was over. But in the turn of the century, 1900, the Zionist movement started, and then in 1942 and 3 and so forth, it really got rolling because Hitler was killing all the Jews. And then the United Nations voted in May 14th, 1948, to allow them to be a nation again. No country in the entire world has never been not a nation and become a nation again, after 2,000 years especially. But Israel did, because God promised them. He said, the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. And so Israel became a nation again. And so that's just an example through the whole Bible. And with all the promises of God, He is not going to keep one of those promises. Every single promise that God has made in the Bible will happen. And every single promise that He's given you in your life will come to pass. And when He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever, and that's all of us, or we're the whosoevers of the world, will believe in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can bank on it. You can bank on that. And so He abides faithful, even in those times that we might have some doubts, if we're not believing, if we're not receiving, if we're stumbling around confused. The Lord is still watching. He's still looking. He's still creating circumstances and creating timelines in our lives that will bring us back to the faith. Oh yeah, He's so good at it once we say yes to Him. We just say yes to Him. And so He abides faithful. No matter what man says or how bad man's unbelief gets, this is another angle to it, God's going to get done what He says He's going to get done. And we look at the end of Revelation and go, guess what? Jesus is coming. He's going to set up a kingdom and rule on this earth for 1,000 years and then create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's going to happen, and we can bank on it. And so He abides faithful. This is so good to know. David knew this. In Your faithfulness, Lord, answer me. In Your faithfulness, Lord, answer my prayer. And he knew that God would, because God is faithful. It's so neat. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And we can bank on it, because Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Right? Amen. Amen. So this is so good. Now, there is scripture in the Bible that makes it look really, really scary. And this is one of the most scary scriptures that I read when I read through this. And without going on and on about it, let's just turn there and then get relieved. But let's turn to Proverbs 1:24 on this idea of God answering our prayers. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. The Lord warns here the human race in Proverbs chapter 1 about running from Him, not obeying Him, not fearing Him. And that will actually bring folks to a place where God won't answer their prayers. Scary stuff. But it says this, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said at nothing all my counsel. God trying to counsel folks, show folks, teach folks, and they're going, no, no, don't want to hear it, don't want to listen to it. You have said at nothing all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The Lord says this, and I'm going, Lord, are you really saying this? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. Whoa, that's heavy stuff. Now, we love to read the other side of it, you know, where God forgives and God cleanses and God has sent Jesus to just wash it all away, and all those things are true. But it's hard on us to read on the other side in the Bible sometimes, isn't it? When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and this is the reason, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But, praise God for the but there, 33, but whoso hearkens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And so we read these scriptures, and I don't know about you, but because I do have a fear of God, and if we're here tonight, most of us probably have a good, healthy fear of God. And you read those scriptures and you go, oh God, oh Lord, let me never refuse your counsel. Help me never, Lord, to, just mock at you or set at nothing all your counsel and not receive your reproof. Because this really leads to, wow, when you call, I won't hear you. I won't answer you. But David is so blessed and thankful to God for his faithfulness and his righteousness. For David has tapped into God's faithfulness and believing God's promises and words for his life. And David has turned it as reproof. When he was rebuked for his sin with Bathsheba, David said three words immediately, I have sinned. Lord, I'm agreeing with you. And you're right. And, you know, in so many words, my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I need you, God. And I confess to you. And so David has this wonderful confidence that God's put in his heart. That's because of God's faithfulness. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then his righteousness takes over. Blessed be the name of the Lord for that truth. Because this language right here will scare you to death. Just to read it. And that you begin to call upon God and seek for him, and you won't find him. And he's not going to answer you. Oh, man. Help me never, God, to get there. And help us all never to get there. Amen? Because it's the truth of it. Now, let's go ahead and balance then the strong language here with again looking at another psalm of David. Let's go to Psalm 66 verse 18, and it includes both these truths in the same verse, so it helps us balance things and try to zero in on understanding what God's trying to tell us about answered prayer and about relationship with him. Psalm 66 18. Psalm 66 and starting at verse 18. Now this word regard was used in Proverbs 1 that we just looked at, where it says that you have not regarded my teaching, regarded my reproof. And that's why they get in trouble. Well, it says here in verse 18 of Psalm 66, if I regard, or another word, NIV translation is cherish. If I cherish or regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then David just gets really blessed again. He says, but truly God has heard me. He has attended unto the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. It's his mercy and his grace and his righteousness and his faithfulness that causes him to be able to hear our prayers through Jesus Christ. This is a very, very sobering thought and a wonderful thought. And the blessedness of this abides upon King David because of his belief and faith in the Lord and his looking forward to the Christ, the Son of the living God. But this idea, we do want to make sure to let sink in a little bit. If I regard or cherish sin, and another translation says sin instead of iniquity, they're the same thing. If I regard iniquity or cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, this is a situation that's an ongoing situation. If we get this fetish of some kind in our lives that we're unwilling to give up, unwilling to put on the altar of God, unwilling to receive reproof about it, and unwilling to give an inch on it, then I'm cherishing then, I'm regarding in my heart and cherishing this thing in my heart, then that is going to drive me further and further away from God. Because Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can't do it. As hard as you try, you can't do it. Either you'll hate the one and despise the other, or hold to the one and resist or push the other one away. So if you are cherishing something, see, that's dragging you down and keeping you down, and you're just unwilling, you're always saying no to God. God, you can say anything you want to me, but don't touch this one deal. And then that is going to move you closer and closer to God. Just won't even hear your prayers. And man, that's scary. But it's, you know, what the Lord gave me years ago about this, I might have heard it on a radio station or something, but God will come to your front door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, fellowship with him, and he with me. And the Lord will come to the front door and knock. And so you take your thing, your cherished thing, your thing that you're not willing for God to deal with, and you go and open the bedroom door and throw it in there. And you know what Jesus does? Comes right through the front door and goes and knocks on the bedroom door. And then you have to go in there and put it in the closet. And then you open the bedroom door, and guess what the Lord does? He runs to the closet door. He knows you got it in there. And so he's trying to deal with you, and he's trying to say, you know, you got to give this up. You got to put this on the altar. I want to hear your prayers. I want to answer your prayers. I want to be real in your life. I want you to hear from me. But if you're cherishing and regarding in your heart this favorite thing that is not good for you or good for anybody, and then he's going to keep knocking, and he will hear the prayer, Father, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner, as I confess that back up to him and give it to him. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. And then comes the forgiveness and the sweetness and the beauty and all the answered prayer and all the communication. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses you. That's scripture from 1 John chapter 1. But otherwise, you see that regarding or cherishing in the heart will drive you away from Jesus Christ and all that mercy and all that beauty. So the balance there that we see in Psalm 66. But truly, truly, as David says, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. The minute I go to mercy, asking God mercy, putting those things that plague me or try to drag me away from him on the altar, up there and say, God, kill it. Take it away, Lord. And I just confess it as sin. Then the mercy begins to roll. Oh, and the forgiveness and all of the hardness of life, really, that just beats upon us, can become, as Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, how light and wonderfully blessed and lifting we feel when we finally get rid of the sin. Psalm 32 describes this so beautifully. I can't preach on this part right without taking to Psalm 32. Let's go to Psalm 32. At least we're in the Psalms a lot, so We're looking at a lot of scripture, but you don't have to turn very far. So Psalm 32. Gosh, we just want to go ahead and read pretty much the whole thing. It says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or perverseness or deceit. And so the deceit is gone, the guile is gone, meaning that we're squared up with the Lord. We're just being honest with him. We're willing to put anything on the altar he has for. And then he's not going to impute iniquity to us because of the blood of Christ that died for that sin, for that transgression. And look at the state or the feeling the psalmist is in when he's trying to keep something back from God. God's come to the front door, the bedroom door, and the closet door, and not letting him in. And it says this, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And roaring can be also translated groaning. Life is hard. It's morning and I wish it was evening. It's evening and I wish it was morning. And you're just groaning. That's also scripture, you know. That's also scripture there. But when you just go on like this, and for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And it gets 130 degrees in the shade where these guys lived. And so, the heaviness of the whole thing. And then, verse 5, praise God, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity I have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Oh, what a difference in the pictures we get here. Roaring, bones hurting, waxing old, just feeling old beyond your years. And then the beautiful bursting forth of floods of great waters that will bless and not tear away, and feeling like you're in God's large place, hiding place, him preserving you from trouble, encircling you about with songs of deliverance. Praise God. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, Sherry is really sick right now, like I shared, but it is such a blessing to hear her wake up with all this sickness she's in right now, and her little voice just praising God. This little song comes out, you know. I love to hear her sing. And, of course, I'd be prejudiced about that. But she just begins to sing to the Lord. It's so beautiful. And those songs of deliverance are there. Why? We can be in trouble and have things going wrong. But the thing is that we're close to God. And we can hear God, and God is real in our lives, and we're not holding back from him, being stingy with him, with something that really hurts us anyway, and let things go. And the Lord says this, and I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. And then the exhortation, don't be like the horse or the mule. And we've all heard stories about horses and mules, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit or a bridle, lest they come near to you. They won't obey you without a bit or a bridle. God doesn't want to be like that with you and I. He doesn't want to have to put the bit in. Bits hurt. They really do. And I feel sorry for the poor horses and mules that have to wear those things. And then every time you get out of line, you just, you know, you don't want to live like that, do you? No, I don't want to live like that. Oh, God, help us. But he, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. And so this exhortation, again and again through the Psalms, through the Bible, God is faithful, and he wants to cleanse you with his righteousness. And the only way that can happen is when I agree with him. I've heard again and again the way to be a happy Christian is to walk a repentant heart before God. Okay, God, I hear you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm tired of the bit, and I'm tired of the bridle. Lord, I just want to go with what you have. And then just submit to that and get into the flow and let the instruction roll. Let the instruction roll instead of, you know, coming against the reproof of the Lord and his guidance in our lives. So he will hear our prayers, and he will answer those prayers because of his faithfulness and because of his righteousness. Okay, well, let's go on back now to Psalm 143 and read the next few verses. Psalm 143. And it says this, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul." This is verse 3, yeah, of 143. Psalm 143, verse 3. "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground." Boy, the enemy can get on you sometimes, can he? Man, and just smite your life right down to the ground. "He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch forth my hands unto you. My soul thirsts after you as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me." Lord, I want to see your face. Oh, God, look on me. Let me see your face. And one day we will see him face to face. Now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I pray to the Lord. I say, "Lord, can you just make that glass just a little lighter? That dark glass I'm looking through right now and I'm feeling whatever. But Lord, I just want to see you better." And somebody wrote a song about it. I want to see, how's it going? "See you more clearly, dearly, and follow you more nearly." Amen. So hide not your face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. Another translation of "cause me to know the way wherein I should walk" is "show me the way I should go." Now, this idea of "show me the way I should go," or "cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." Look at that connection with the first part of the verse. "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." Now, do you ever notice when the enemy comes in like a flood in the morning, it's not with loving kindness. That's not his idea. He wants to come in and get you out of bed on the wrong foot. We call it getting out of bed on the wrong side. We call it, "I'm having a bad hair day." But the thing is that it's all about the enemy trying to mess you up and get you thinking the wrong stuff. And you know what God wants to do for you in the morning? He wants to show you and cause you to hear his loving kindness in the morning. "Good morning, champ. It's time to get up." Now, that's what he'd say to a man, right? To a lady, probably says, "Hello." And whatever ladies like to hear. But loving kindness. God wants to show you his loving kindness in the morning. And that is where we then are caused by him to find out which way we should walk that day. You have questions, he's got answers. He'll hear your prayer. You just get it all up on the altar. You say, "Lord, in Jesus' name, I really want to know what you've got for this day. And please help me in this day. Give me courage for this day. Help me to get out of bed for this day and get out of bed on the right side and say good morning to him. And so I love this connection. It's all through the Bible. And I want to show you another scripture on that in a second. But cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And with that, I'd like to go to Psalm 5. And hopefully you know this psalm already. This is a song that we actually sing in modern days also. Psalm 5. And it says this. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Oh, that's the place to be. Years ago, in the first church I served in, used to visit a lady that was 93 years old, and everybody thought that she would be going in the rapture with us, and especially her. Her name was Alice Groff. She lived in Long Beach, and I would visit her down there in her apartment and just love the way that the curtains would blow straight out from her window. She overlooked the Pike, you know, down there in Long Beach, and the ocean, and where the Queen Mary is now. It was just beautiful. And I used to love to go see her because it was like going to the throne room of God. I'm telling you, this lady was so close to the Lord. And I was really surprised that the rapture didn't come before she passed away. Because she just thought she was going to be here for it. And it seemed to me that she was right before the throne room of God continually. Anyway, she told me one day, I was really young. I was a young pastor. I was 20-something years old. And not a head pastor yet, but working as a lay assistant to the pastor at full-time in a church. But she said to me, and she used Proverbs 8. Let's go to Proverbs 8, and I'll tell you what she said. Proverbs chapter 8, last few verses. Verse 34 of Proverbs 8 through 36. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And so this daily watching at his gates, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up, and finding life and obtaining favor of the Lord. Well, Alice Gross said this to me. She said, son, when you wake up, you just rest your elbows on the windowsill of heaven and gaze into the face of Jesus, and you're going to have a great day. That stuck with me and still sticks with me, and I'm almost 93. No, not really, but 63. I only have 30 years to go. But what a great, exhortation from this dear lady that's dancing with Jesus now and in heaven. And it's just the truth of it. It's just those that seek me early will find me. And that can also be translated, those that seek me diligently. So we diligently seek the Lord early. When is early? Whenever you wake up. That's the morning. And if it's 11 o'clock, it's still the morning. And you can start seeking God first thing and looking his way. And then you will be led in the way of righteousness, which is our final point here tonight. Let's go back to Psalm 143. And so, lead me to the land of righteousness. Now, verse 9, we just read verse 8. Cause me to know your way wherein I should walk. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Or another translation, lead me to the land of level ground. You know how it says about Jesus that, well, the prophecy of John the Baptist actually had come to make the mountains low and the valleys high, is to level things out. God wants to level out your life. He wants to put you on level ground. He wants to bring you into a large place to lead you in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Now notice, we began with the idea that God is faithful and he hears our prayer because of his righteousness. Now, at the end of the psalm, we're reading, quicken me, O Lord, this is verse 11, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And so it is the Lord's righteousness, and for his name's sake and his righteousness' sake, that he's working with us, actually giving his name credibility, that the people of God that deal with God and are close to the Lord are vindicated by the Lord, their battles are fought by the Lord, and the Lord is bringing them into a place of righteousness. For when we see him, we'll be like him, and he's conforming us every day to his image. So he is doing this by his righteousness, and upholding his promises that he is our sanctification. He's separating us unto himself as his people. And so a glorious thing. Psalm 23:3 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, and his name is Jesus. And so for Jesus' sake, the Father is working and moving with us because it was Jesus that paid the price for us. We're bought and paid for with a price. And so now for the name of Jesus Christ, the Father is working hard to bring you where you want to be, to actually bring you face to face and answer your prayers. He wants to answer your prayers. He doesn't want to not answer your prayers. He wants to answer your prayers and cause you to hear his loving kindness every single morning. And so that's his bend, his heart, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful. That, and we read in Romans 12:2 on this, that you may prove, as we present our bodies, a living sacrifice to him, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, glorifying his name. As we are on the altar, we began with the altar. We're on the altar. And God sees the presentation of our lives to him and those everything in our lives. Then he begins to change our mind about things and work on our mind and to actually show to other people in the world what the perfect will of God is by seeing God's will being done in your life. They will observe you. And if they're into sin or something and they're convicted, then they'll pick on you. But then later when they get saved, they'll remember you. And you'll get some thanks in heaven. Usually not before. And the Lord is so wonderfully good about all this as he lets us know that we can actually be instruments of his peace, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Since we're in Psalms, I do want to take you to one final scripture that really lays this out beautifully, these things we've been talking about, especially Romans 12, 1 and 2. Psalm 37, and we're going to just kind of meditate on these wonderful verses just for a few minutes here. Psalm 37. Verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, just give it all up to God, do the best you can, and do good. How's Keith Green's old song goes? You do your best and you pray that it's blessed, and you let God do the rest. I love that line because it's this one right here. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly you shall be fed. Now there's another nice promise, isn't there? Right there, one of many, that the Lord will take care of us. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And as I truly do that, I'm not delighting in that thing that I've been carrying around. And, you know, I want to be a millionaire. That's all I want. And if God makes me a millionaire, then I'll like him real good. And so I'm going to carry that around. That's my goal. That's what I'm about. But no, we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, wow. Really? Yes. First, he builds those desires in your heart. And then he gives them to you. And you're just blown away and thankful. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? Him. He's going to do that. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment, or your justice, as the noonday rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. God, for his name's sake, will lead you in the paths of righteousness. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. And he's the one. As we commit our way to him each day, just commit your way to him. And it says here again, he shall bring it to pass. He shall do that. And bring in that light. So you are the light of the world. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said that. Because he will bring to pass righteous deeds and acts in your life. And also a wonderful fruit-bearing season. Where it says, I have ordained you to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And you know, I don't think we'll fully understand these promises until we get to heaven. And we see all that God has done in and through what he's been able to do. But he sure makes a lot of promises, and he's not a man that he should lie. He's telling the truth about this. And it is so uplifting to just swallow it whole. Swallow it whole. I said, Lord, you are faithful. Lord God, it's your righteousness, and you impart it to me through faith in your name. God, to help me and lead me. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord God, for these Bible truths and promises. And Lord, thank you, Father, that you tell us you are going to lead us in the ways of righteousness for Jesus' sake. Thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross, your abiding love. Lord, we just want to respond in abiding in you and then bearing fruit and not straining at it, but just letting it happen. Lord, we want to take every single thing that might be an offense to you in our lives and put it on the altar to answer every door. Lord, to just learn how to delight ourselves in you. We hear you calling, Lord. I can almost hear the bell. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your affection. And Lord, we would seek your beautiful face every day. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you would like prayer for anything, even though it is the nighttime, he likes to hear the prayers at night too. So you can come to the prayer room or pray with one another as long as you want. May the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you and fill you and transfer you to the kingdom of heaven one day after he's renewed your mind. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.